Almighty God, we are thankful each and every day to live in this nation. We're thankful that you bless our nation. Lord, hold us true to the ideas of freedom and justice and brotherhood for all who call this home. Lord, guard us from war, from compromise, from fear and confusion. Make us more deeply aware of our heritage, realizing not only my rights, but also my duties and responsibilities as a citizen of this great nation. Through us, Lord, make all people in this great land understand your will, Lord, that they may participate in the destiny ordained for all of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm trying something a little new today, and I'm using electronics, so as we move forward here, I ask for some forgiveness if you see me looking down and working through the pages on this. So I think it's going to help me see a little bit better, though. So why don't we, if you're in one of our campus churches or if you've been following us, you'll know that this is a time of worship where we bring our joys and our concerns, where we share the victories that the Lord is working in our lives, as well as bring before him and at his throne of grace those things where we know we need each other and we know we need the Lord. So if you've taken some time, whether it be in your heart or out loud, to lift those joys and concerns, let's join together in our prayer this morning. Welcoming Lord, as we come before your throne of grace today, it's been quite a week, quite a month, really, Lord. It's been quite a year so far. For some of us, this season has been filled with busyness and excitement. Activities one after another. For others, it's been long, Lord. It's been lonely. Others have experienced ongoing troubles and frustrations, sorrows and sadness. Yet throughout all these conditions and at all times, you're with each one of us, giving us strength, calming our spirits, healing our wounds, celebrating the delights and the successes. This morning, we've called out the names of those names that are in our hearts by our voices. We've called out the names of loved ones who struggle with issues of health and loneliness, sorrow. We name in our hearts and by our voices those who've found great joy. Lord, we would ask that you would be with each person, giving strength and courage for all the times ahead. Help each one of us, Lord. Each one of us to remember that we can always come to you with our burdens, and you promise that you'll always take them from us. Lord, in our quest to draw closer to you, to serve you better each day, we must confess that we struggle. Our world's being torn in half, and then half again, and then again. No matter the issue, we seek to defend our position rather than share our space. We constantly battle between understanding our brothers and sisters and protecting the beliefs and the opinions that we hold as true and sacred. Lord, we need your guidance. This weekend is a celebration of freedom. 250 years of one nation under your grace. Lord, teach us again what it is to be truly free. Free from fear and hate and poverty and ego. Free from the things that we use to divide us. And Lord, show us that true freedom only comes when we learn to share freely the love that you offer to each and every one of us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to read from, as soon as it pops up here for me, here we go. I'm going to read from Romans. We're going to preach from Romans today, Paul's letter to the Romans. This is chapter 7, verse 15 through 25. So hear these words. It says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me. I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there within me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I have another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Isn't Paul just so much fun to read? He is the tongue twister author of the... He's the Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, or she sells seashells down by the seashore kind of writer. This passage sounds a little bit like Paul's version of who's on first. Only this sounds like, do I do or do I don't? Sometimes we just have to slow down and take Paul apart piece by piece. He even started the scripture that we read. He started out with these words. He says, I don't really understand myself. So that's what I want to do this morning. I just want to take a few minutes and take this thing apart. Let's see if we can try and understand what Paul is saying and maybe make a little bit of sense out of this tongue twister passage. To do that, I want to share some other stories as we begin looking at Paul's. I'm sure many of you heard of the Cherokee legend of the two wolves. There are a couple of versions of this story, and I don't know if we have all heard the second version of this story. They're pretty similar, yet there's just a bit of a difference. Paul doesn't pass this morning. In a text of the text, basically says the exact same thing, just in a little bit different way. So let me share with you one version of the Cherokee legend. Here's how it goes. It says, every evening an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside of him. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves. The battle is between two wolves inside of all of us. One wolf is evil. It's anger and envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. But the other wolf is good. It's joy. Peace, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And the grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, he says, grandfather, which wolf wins the battle? And the old Cherokee simply replied, he says, the one you feed. Now that's the first version of that story. Let's hear the second version of the story of the two wolves. Same outcome, just interpreted to fit a different circumstance. Listen. Old grandfather said this to his grandson, who came to him with anger at a friend. He was angry with a friend who had done him some injustice. Let me tell you a story. I too, the grandfather says, at that time, felt great hate for those who have taken so much with no sorrow for what they did. But grandson, hate wears you down. It does not hurt your enemy. It's like taking poison and wishing your enemy would die. I've struggled with these feelings many, many times. He continued, it's as if there are two wolves inside of me, grandson. One is good and does no harm. He lives in harmony with everything around him, and he doesn't take offense when no offense was intended. He will only fight when it is right to do so and in the right way. But the other wolf, the other wolf is full of anger. The littlest thing will set him into a fit of temper. He fights everyone all the time and for no reason. He cannot think because this anger and this hate are so great within him. It is helpless anger, for his anger will change nothing. Sometimes, grandson, it's hard to live with these two wolves inside of me, for both of them try to dominate my spirit. The boy looked intently into his grandfather's eyes and asked, he says, which one wins, grandfather? The grandfather smiled and quietly said, the one I feed. This is the dilemma that Paul is struggling with in the scripture for this morning. The battle of the two wolves that are inside of Paul. He says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. The good wolf. So that I'm not the one doing wrong, since it is the sin, the bad wolf, living in me that does it. You see, Paul wrestles with this contrast between God's law and what's holy and the flesh, which is unholy. Some scholars believe that Paul might have been referring to his pre-Christian life, where he sees himself as unspiritual, sold as a slave sold as a slave into sin. But when we read a little bit deeper, we see that Paul is talking in the present tense. This shows that really he's speaking about his current, his converted, his saved by faith life. I'm glad this is here. It shows us that struggling with our sin doesn't mean that we're lost. It doesn't mean that we haven't reached the point of assurance in our personal journeys. It shows us that we're mature enough, that we've actually grown enough in our faith to make this enlightened or this informed decision about which wolf inside of us is the one that we should be nourishing. If Paul, being the strong Christian that he was, could have these struggles and still be used by God, then that should sure give us a sense of hope. I believe that we can all identify with Paul's struggle because we've all been in that same spot. We've all dealt with this spiritual tug of war that goes on within us. We've all been frustrated with ourselves for giving in and doing the things we don't want to do. Do I do or do I don't? Do I feed the wolf of anger? Or do I feed the wolf of love and peace and kindness? I know for me, I want to set a full bowl of food out there for that good wolf. That's my intention. As hard as I try to be a kind and gentle and loving, as hard as I try to be humble and compassionate, then all the other traits of that good wolf, I somehow manage to leave a trail of kibble along the path that feeds that angry wolf, and he just follows me everywhere I go. And friends, it's just so easy for us to do. I mean, all we have to do is watch the news. All we have to do is listen to the radio or look at our social media feeds. The evil wolf is ravenous. And so many people, they just keep feeding that same wolf over and over. It seems like every conversation I have ends in a discussion about something dividing our society in one way or another. And in every conversation, I see the evil wolf growing stronger and stronger. When I told the two different wolf stories, I said that they had the same outcome, but they were told in just a little bit different way. The difference that I noticed was the moral to these two legends. The first one ended with this. It says, the one that you feed. The second one ended with this. The one that I feed. Paul ends this passage this morning with some strong words. Oh, in one version it says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Every time I read these words, I find it hard to believe that a person is as competent, as committed as Paul, as committed as he was, I find it hard to believe that he's declaring himself unworthy to serve. I have to believe that he's finding some joy in the fact that he's been given the insight to see the battle of the two wolves that are within inside him. How bad off would we be if we were unable, just think about it, if we were unable to recognize our shortcomings and then turn away from sin? What if we couldn't do that? Where would we end up? Listen to Paul's response. He says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Then he says it. He says, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, thank God that he will save us from feeding only the evil wolf. We have the choice this morning to feed the good wolf. Jesus has provided a meal for us that saves us from the sin in our flesh and feeds the spirit good that's in us. Today you'll have the opportunity to say, I will feed the good wolf. To God be the glory. Amen. So, friends, there's a meal set before us. As we are preparing to come to this table together, I want you to notice something important about Paul's struggle. Paul never said that he had everything all figured out. He never says, I defeated the bad wolf once and for all. He never said, I became so holy that all temptation has disappeared from me. Instead, he cries out, what a wretched man I am. How miserable of a man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he answers his own question. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus, our Lord. Friends, that is our gospel. The Christian life is not the story of people who never struggle. It's the story of people who know where to take their struggle. It's the story of sinners who know where to find grace. It's the story of people who recognize that there's still two wolves battling within them, and yet they continue returning to the one who has claimed the victory. That's why we come to this table. We don't come because we've had a perfect week. We don't come because we finally stopped feeding the wrong wolf. We don't come because we've earned our seat at this table. We come because Jesus invites us. We come because we recognize our need for his mercy. We come because the same Savior who died for our sins, also nourishes our souls. At this table, Christ doesn't offer condemnation. He offers His grace. He doesn't shame us for the battles that we're fighting. He strengthens us for the battles that still lie before us. He reminds us that while sin remains a reality in each one of our lives, it's no longer our master. Today, as we receive the bread and the cup, we're reminded that God has already provided a meal that feeds the Spirit within us. Here we find forgiveness. Here we find strength. Here we find hope. Here we remember that our salvation rests not in our ability to overcome sin, but in Christ's victory over sin on our behalf. So if today you recognize your need for grace, if today you find yourself weary from the struggle, if today you can honestly say with Paul, I do not do the good I want to do, then come. Come to the table of Jesus. Come not because you're strong, but because He's strong. Come not because you're worthy, but because He's gracious. Come to receive the gift that feeds the good wolf. It reminds us once again that our hope has never been in ourselves. Our hope is and always will be in Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to the table. We're on the night in which Jesus gave Himself up for us. He met with His disciples. There were wolves in that room, and yet He met with His disciples. During that meal, He took bread and He gave thanks to You, Lord, and then He broke that bread. And He gave it to those disciples. He said, take all of you, eat. This is My body given for you. When you do this, do it in remembrance of Me. And when the meal was over, He took the cup. Again, He gave thanks to You, Lord. And then He gave it to His disciples. And He said, take all of you and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of Me. And so in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts, Lord, we come. We come with our wolves, with our battles, with our struggles. And Lord, we lay them down before You. We want this meal. We want to feed the good wolf in us. We want to give You our struggles. And so, Lord, we come. We come to this table because You are so good, because You love us so much, because we want to feed the good wolf, and we want to defeat the bad wolf. We want to go out into this world and share that good news with others. We pray this, and we give You thanks, Lord, until we meet You finally at Your table, for your eternal table. We give You thanks, Lord. Hear us as we pray in the way that Jesus taught His disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The table is set. Please partake. And as we get ready to leave this place today, let's pray. Gracious and merciful God, we thank You that You never leave us alone in our struggles. You know our hearts. You know the battles we fight each day. Yet instead of condemning us, You continue to meet us with grace and mercy and the promise of a new life through Jesus. Today we've offered our gifts as an expression of our gratitude and our trust for You, Lord. Receive them and use them to proclaim the gospel, to serve those in need, to strengthen Your church, and to draw people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. But Lord, we know that You desire more than the gifts that are in these plates this morning. You desire our hearts. Lord, continue to work within us. Strengthen us by Your Holy Spirit to choose what is good, to resist what is evil, and to become more like Christ each and every day. And Lord, when we stumble, remind us that Your grace is greater than our disappointments. When we grow weary, renew our strength. When we lose our way, Lord, nudge us back on track. Lord, we thank you for meeting us at this table and for the assurance that our hope is never dependent on our perfection. Our hope rests entirely in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who feeds our souls with grace and gives us strength for another day. We dedicate our offerings, we dedicate ourselves to your service and to your glory alone. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.